And in many respects, having served in the full-time ministry for just going on 15 years, I've served in every service ministry. And one of the most refreshing things for Jackie and I coming down to Cape Town, can we get the house lights up because I want to be able to see the back. One of the most refreshing things just for us coming down to Cape Town has been being able to just come down and do the ministry. You know, I'm paid to be devoted to the ministry of God's word and prayer. But over the years, it's amazing how my job description has shifted from chair packer to toilet duty to car guard to security. You know, a couple of years ago, they wanted us to put down our job descriptions, what we actually do. We said, well, where do we start? And yet it was so encouraging to be able to come down here and do exactly that. Focus just on the ministry. And that's a testimony to just what it is has been done down here in Cape Town with regards to the different service ministries that have been set up and that have been created. And so this morning, like John said, I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts to hopefully align our hearts and our minds with regards to God's attitude towards service and our response to that as disciples of Jesus. Like I said, and we'll get into this in a minute, what you do on a Sunday has eternal significance. What you do on a Sunday has eternal significance. And what is, you know, the great search for meaning of life always asks, is people are always asking, what purpose or what value am I adding to people around me? Well, let me say this, when you are serving in God's kingdom, you are able to contribute to the eternal significance of not only your soul, but other people's lives as well. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I can identify with those of you who've served the years and in many different service ministries. I remember my tendons are strained in both thumbs. I was sharing this with the service ops ahead for the amount of chairs that I've packed in the years that I've been a disciple. If I go like that, I can still feel the strain of my tendons on my thumbs. You name it, car park, toilet duty, sound. I sacrificed my car to the sound ministry in the Central East back in Johannesburg. For 11 months, I packed the speakers, the stands, the cables, brought them to church and took them home for 11 months. So sound guys, I can certainly identify with that. Ushering. Man, first to arrive, last to leave. And so I certainly can identify and appreciate with all the effort and energy that you guys have put into your different service ministries. Who was the greatest volunteer? Sorry, what? I'm hearing a few mixed signals here, huh? Oh, now you know, that was just, you cottoned on to that. I heard a couple of other answers, though. It might have been interesting, you know. But of course, it was Jesus. You know, in John 1, verse 10 through 11, he says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Isn't that amazing? Some of us, we want appreciation. We want recognition for what it is that we do. And look, that's a good thing. You know, that's how certainly God has wired us. But if you look at the example of our Lord, he certainly didn't receive recognition. He gave up his divine authority, his place appointed in the universe, to come down and serve us. And it was voluntary. He chose to do that. He chose to give of his life and sacrifice and service to you and I. He is the greatest volunteer and the greatest example that we could ever look at. And this morning, you're not just volunteers. You're disciples of Jesus who are volunteers. And there's a big difference. Because there are fantastic initiatives out there of people volunteering their time and energies to do all sorts of things. But there's something unique and very special about disciples of Jesus volunteering their time and energies for God's kingdom. This demands you and I to be constantly growing in our servanthood. You know, when we're serving the body of Christ, you and I are on a growth path to becoming more and more like Jesus. And this is the ultimate goal of our discipleship. Let's have a look here in John chapter 13. This will test your spirituality if you actually brought along a Bible to our volunteers workshop this morning. Amen. John chapter 13. I'm going to read you from verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You know, one of the most famous passages in the gospel. Here's the Lord and Master of the universe donning a towel to wash his disciples' feet. How many of us have ever washed someone's feet? It's quite a humbling experience, isn't it? You know, I remember a couple of years ago, we went on a Hope Youth Call, and we visited some adults who were affected and infected by HIV/AIDS. And some of these, you know, really, really tough situations. And we decided as a group to wash their feet. And it was one of the most humbling experiences. Because everything inside of you doesn't want to do that. Get down on your knee and wash someone else's feet. It's constantly a battle between what we think we ought to do and what we ought to do. And yet Jesus was prepared to do anything. That is the heart of who it is that we follow. There wasn't anything that Jesus wasn't prepared to do in order to edify and serve others. Why? Because he was motivated out of love. And that should be the heart that we go about any type of service in God's kingdom. You know, serving requires humility, denial of self. You know, it's tough getting up. You know, most people want to sleep in on a Sunday morning. But to get here and old Neil Boyson or Donnie DeSwart opening up this place at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, that's a tough task. I've been doorkeeper. Back in Joburg, I had to open and lock the Northwest venue. And Cornelius and I would take turns doing that every single month. When we give of ourselves in service to Jesus' church, he uses those opportunities to transform you and I from the inside out. Who do you think is benefiting most at the end of the day from service? Is it the people you're serving or is it yourself? It's us. God uses it to transform us, to help us to be more humble, to help us to become more sacrificial, and to grow toward becoming more like Jesus. In many respects, he is adding eternal significance to our lives by providing us with unique opportunities and privileged opportunities to serve in his church. And that's how we need to see it. So let's talk a little bit about the significance of service in God's kingdom. What does service mean to you? I want to throw it out there. It's not a rhetorical question. What does service mean to you? Yes, Jill. Using your talents for God's kingdom, absolutely. Anyone else? Don't all shout at once, huh? Yeah. Sacrificing your time for the benefit of someone else, huh? Yeah, Rian. Denial of self, yeah, Steph. Purpose, a deeper sense of purpose. I saw another hand there. Yes, Lisa. Meeting someone else's needs, absolutely. Anyone else? Maura. Yeah? Considering others better than yourself. Eben. Laying down your life. Have you noticed how all of these are spiritual qualities and traits? It is God adding eternal significance to our lives when he affords us the privilege and opportunity to serve his church. And it's important that we have that mindset. You know, a playwright, a guy by the name of Rabindranath Tagore, who lived from 1861 to 1941. He was a poet, playwright, said this: "I slept and I dreamt that life was a joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy." That was his response. Have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here. First 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 12. Just as a body, though one, is many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews, Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You know, it's an amazing passage of scripture here, and Paul was often very, very apt at using metaphors to describe the relationships that should exist within God's church. Now, I wanted to throw it out there, but if you look at this passage, obviously, you know, he's going and says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and he's talking about different parts of the body and the way that they interact with each other. What do you notice specifically about each part of the body relating to the other in this passage? What jumps out for you in this particular passage? Any thoughts? Yes. Dependent on one another. Yeah, what else? Sharon. What's that? Exactly. There's one part that isn't more important than the other. Great point. Anything else? Any further thoughts? Yes, Wendy. They're all necessary, every single one of them. Chantel. Exactly. They all work together to make the whole. Eben. Some members cannot work without others. Absolutely. I mean, what a great analogy to how the relationships and the parts of the body should function. Each part is indispensable. All of us need to do our bit to ensure the proper functioning of Christ's body. Let me ask you this question this morning. What if your hand didn't agree with you coming to this volunteers workshop? Or what if you woke up one morning and your foot said, you know what, I don't feel like getting out of bed right now. I mean, that just doesn't happen, right? When the mind gives a command to the whole body acts and performs its very specific function. And that's why all of you sitting here are indispensable to one another. The relationships in the room and the roles that you perform are indispensable to the working of Christ's body, his church. My role and responsibility is certainly not more important than the guy who sweeps the front foyer. In fact, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that, you know, it's better to, be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know, just because we have unique roles, it doesn't mean we're more important. In fact, the Bible says that we're indispensable and that we need to give greater honor to the parts that lack it. So here's two things that you and I need to remember when we're choosing to serve in the kingdom of God. Firstly, eternal significance. You know, here's another quote that I got from Carrie Chapman. She was an American women's rights activist. She said, service to a just cause rewards the worker with more real happiness and satisfaction than any other venture of life. Doesn't that just describe someone who is sold out to this particular cause? You know, service in God's church is unlike any other service we can give. You have the opportunity to add to the eternal significance of a person's relationship with God. And here's how. You know, we can so easily look with temporal eyes at Kids Zone as an hour slog on a Sunday, or an hour and a half slog. Man, Lord, just let me get me through this with these kids. I don't know if I can endure this. But what you don't realize, in agreement, we got some kids here, sorry. You know, when we are serving the kids in Kids Zone, we are shaping their perception of the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Is there any bigger or deeper value that you can add more to that child's life? No, it isn't. It's a matter of perspective. You know, a lighting technician, I just chose these at random. I really am not picking on anybody serving these particular roles right now. You might think that, man, I have a really boring job. Just coming here and clicking some flashing lights. Wow, that's amazing. But what you're contributing to is a transcending moment of worship for people when we gather. A connecting opportunity for you to connect with the Almighty Creator. And that's how we need to see it. You know, we've all been at places in our service in God's church where, man, this is tiring, this is a slog. But I know that most of us have also been at a place where we feel like we're adding significance to other people's lives. And like I said earlier, not only are you adding to another person's significance, you're making an investment in your own. Matthew 6, verse 19 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, we talked about the transformative path that we go on when we decide to serve in God's kingdom. But what we need to recognize is that when we choose to lay down our lives for one another, we are storing up treasures in heaven. God takes notice of our service and our sacrifice, and He will reward us. You know, there's a couple sitting here today, and I haven't even got permission as to whether or not I could encourage them. I don't know if you guys have an opportunity to meet the Purdy's, Mark and Helen Purdy, okay? They have flown halfway around the world to volunteer in their own time and capacity to serve our compassion ministry. They're not getting paid. Cape Town Church isn't paying them. But they have given their time and energies to see how they can contribute. Isn't that awesome? They are adding to the eternal significance of what God wants to do here amongst us, but in the greater Cape Town good. And that's admirable. Okay? How many of us would get on a plane, give up a year of their lives on their own ticket to serve people that they've never seen or met? That's a great heart. You know, secondly, what does it enable us to do? It's to worship our God and Creator. Here's another quote from Mahatma Gandhi. He says, "Consciously or unconsciously, every one of us does render some service or other. If we cultivate the habit of doing this service deliberately, our desire for service will steadily grow stronger and will make not only our happiness, but that of the world at large." That was Mahatma Gandhi. You know, someone said it earlier, when we're serving God with our talents, our gifts, our skill sets, we're actually worshiping God according to our design. That's something we've got to remember, that God made every single one of us very unique, with very unique skill sets and talents. I mean, I was asking Zelda at the back there, man, who made this desk? You know, the sound desk that sits at the back there? You know, we so often walk in and out and don't notice that that is a beautiful work of craftsmanship by a handful of brothers who decided to design a box for our sound desk and create it. I looked and I thought to myself, wow, that's a work of art right there. Eh? From the podiums to all sorts of things, it's amazing to see people's, your talents, your gifts, your skill sets being used to glorify God. But what you need to realize is this, it's a higher thing that's taking place. You are worshiping God. You are giving Him the glory. And we need to remember that our talent and sacrifice is worshiping Him when we choose to use our gifts and skill sets to honor Him. So those were just some thoughts to prime us for this morning. to align our hearts, to help us to remember that, you know what, we are adding or have the opportunity to add eternal significance, not only to other people's lives, but to our own lives when we choose to volunteer our time and energies to whatever venture there is going on in the church. Secondly, you have an opportunity to worship, to honor God for who He is and how He made you. And finally, you get to walk in the most privileged footsteps of Jesus as He transforms you and I from the inside out through service. Amen. Let's have a good workshop. Huh?